Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for making this opportunity. I ask you to bless your saints today, Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord. Lord, you stayed ahead of this thing from the beginning, and I believe you're doing it now. And the expectations of the world will not be met, but everything is being done for your church and to bring your church out of darkness, and people will have to recognize that. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, saints, we're going to continue with Preserved from the Beast, number 19. And we're going to start with a revelation called Shaking Out the Unsanctified. This was given to Vanessa Weeks on 10/15/21. She said, "As I laid down and was praying for our body, I had a vision. I saw the UBM house. I believe it's the smaller and larger house here that God's talking about. And we were in it. And I saw the house being turned upside down and shaken. I had to hold on to the walls. We had to hold on to the walls to keep from falling out." So we know that the walls symbolize sanctification, separation from the world through our faith and the promises of God, right? And this is what keeps the enemy out also. We should remember that. So sanctification and keeping the enemy out is the most important thing to God. It really doesn't matter what men want. Men have all kinds of ideas of what they want. 1,000 years of peace, stuff like that. And they want to hide from the problems coming. And it really doesn't matter. You can't hide from the problems coming unless you're holy. There is only one refuge. It's Jesus Christ and abiding in Him. So, this shaking could be many things that are in motion right now. The faction from the deep state government and the apostate church. The economic collapse. The vaccine plague. The armies of assassins coming across the border, the ones that are already here, and more of which will increase dramatically in the days to come in order to shake out the unholy and the unfaithful, because there are many people who don't have faith in God. The righteous shall live from faith. Hebrews 12:27-28 says, "And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made," in other words, by man, "that those things which are not shaken may remain. Wherefore, receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe." So this kingdom that cannot be shaken is God's kingdom, and we need to be entering into it in all things through faith in the Word, walking in the Spirit, and so on. The factious, unforgiving are being culled. They've been shaken out. We've had this shaking out for a while. It sanctifies us every time it happens. And that's because they're not forgiven. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. That's what Jesus said. So, therefore, they don't get any of the benefits of the kingdom. We pray for them, of course, because we want them to come to the end of themselves and choose God. So, they don't get grace through faith to overcome. They have no faith. They don't believe in the Word anymore when this happens. And also those who are in idolatry with the right-wing politicians and the New Age so-called Christians in the alternative media, which also are shaken by the Lord to bring them around to true repentance, right? We hope, we pray. Everybody. We want everybody to repent. God's got people everywhere, right? So their 1,000 years of peace will be annulled by the book of Revelation, which they reject as false. But the righteous have the promises of God, which are a solid rock to stand on. And Vanessa said, I asked the Lord for a word about this and received by faith at random Mark 4 and 7. And some seeds fell up among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. There are a lot of thorns out there. The thorns are the wicked and the factious who crucified the man-child Jesus as the thorns around his head symbolize. They were guilty of his blood. These people also test the called, and some fall among them, like it says here, fell among them. But the elect are chosen because they do not fall, but overcome through faith. And as we will see in further revelations, the thorns may also represent vaccination mandates, the thorns, and persecution that the current deep state beast is forcing on the body of Christ. You say they're doing it on the world. Exactly so. They want to depopulate the world. They want it for themselves. But it will have no effect on true believers because they believe that Jesus bore this curse for them. Amen. And so much of the church doesn't believe that part, so they don't get it. That's the thing. That's why you need to study the scriptures, and don't trust in your church. It leads many, many people astray. We also received these two texts by faith at random in our morning meeting on 10/29. When we put this here together, about the apostate's land becoming thorns. Isaiah 5:3-7 says, And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. I will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor hoed, but there shall come up briars and thorns. And as you know, our land is us. We've spoken about that, how that the old Canaanite has to be driven from our land, and the Israelite, the spiritual man, is supposed to take over and raise fruit, right? Not thorns. And I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and what we would call in the New Testament, the church. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. So these thorns are the factious and apostates and those that persecute God's people. And the next text that we got was Malachi 1:1-5. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, Wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Representing the factious who hate their brethren, right? Saith the Lord, Yet I loved Jacob, but Esau I hated, and I made his mountains a desolation. In other words, thorns grew up, right? And gave his heritage to the jackals of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, We are beaten down, but we will return and build the waste places. Yes, we've heard noises like that. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, They shall build, but I will throw down, and men shall call them the border of wickedness. And the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever, And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord be magnified beyond the border of Israel. Well, we know the Edomites become desolate because of faction. We're watching it. They've divided up the church for many, many years. They divided the early church, the Israel, etc. And they fought against the righteous. So Vanessa said, I'm praying about this and that our Father will give us grace to hold on to sanctification in the shaking. So those who fall away by these tribulations will be shaken loose so that the reward may come to the bride only, because the bride is justified by faith in the promises of God. And then a remnant of the fallen will return to the Lord. Yes, amen. That's what we pray for all the time. So I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random for Vanessa's dream and received Psalm 68:22. And as you know, 22 represents division. So I'm going to read 21 through 23. But God will smite through the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his guiltiness. The wicked and the factious, of course, will not repent, and God will use the shakings to bring them down. And maybe that will bring them to repentance. That's what God does. And verse 22, the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring them again from the depths of the sea. Well, I had a note here of another 22 right next to this 22, and it was Psalm 22, and I'm going to read that to you in just a minute, or parts of it. And it spoke of the bulls of Bashan, who were the apostate factious leaders who crucified Jesus, and also the man-child of our day. So history just keeps repeating. We can read and know what's coming. Verse 23, that thou mayest crush them, dipping thy foot in blood. So God brings enemies against his people in order to judge them. The enemy will be crushed by the prophetic words of the man-child and the bride, as it was in Esther. The same thing happened. That the tongue of thy dogs may have its portion from thine enemies. And the dogs ate Jezebel, as you know, when the man-child reformer Jehu had her thrown down, right? Well, here's that other 22, Psalm 22, 1 through 22. And it says, a psalm of David, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know that, of course, this was speaking prophetically of Jesus and also the end time Jesus and the man-child. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? For a season the righteous suffer crucifixion at the hands of the dogs, like it was with Jesus. He went on to say, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou answerest not, and in the night season, but I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Notice that they did go through a crucifixion, and as Jesus did, which is prophetic revelation speaks of, and the end time man child, same thing. This crucifixion is valuable to God, bringing forth that gold and silver in the lives of his people. Verse 5, they cried unto thee and were delivered. Let the righteous cry unto God for deliverance, for they will be heard according to this. For holding to the wall of sanctification while others fall away. We can't depart from the word. If we depart from the word, we're going to lose in every case. So they trusted in thee and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, Commit thyself unto the Lord, let him deliver him, let him rescue him, seeing he delighteth in him. Well, this is basically what the wicked leaders said when Jesus was on the cross. But God didn't want him to come down off that cross, and he didn't either. But it was he who was promoted as they went into destruction at the hands of the beast. And so it is in this day. Verse 9, But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God, since my mother bare me. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. And, of course, this was like the factious leaders who crucified the man-child Jesus and the end-time man-child, too. They gape upon me with their mouth, as a ravening and as a roaring lion. And Father said that he will destroy slanderers. So, verse 16 says, For dogs have compassed me. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced my hands, which represent your works, right? And my feet, which represent your walk. In other words, they crucified those that, when they slandered, they came against their works and their walk. And they usually charge you with what they are doing, exactly what's happening in the political world, and as everybody now is finding out. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and upon my vesture do they cast lots. But be not thou far off, O Lord, O thou my succor. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword and my darling from the power of the dog. So Father is turning the dogs over to be euthanized, as we just saw in Eve's dream in our last program, or the one before that, I forget. It was very interesting. The angels were gathering them up to be euthanized, and I would say many of them have taken the shot. Maybe all of them have taken the shot. But, or at least all those that the Lord wants to do to take down, you know, others will repent, I'm sure. Verse 21, Save me from the lion's mouth, yea, from the horns of the wild oxen, thou hast answered me. We also got this text 19 through 21 by faith at random in our morning prayer meeting. And here's verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I praise thee. Notice the crucifixion came first, didn't it? Well, because Jesus suffered physical death by these apostates and deep state politicians like Pilate and Herod, you know, we have a right to escape the physical death. A death to self is something we all should desire and run after. And thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you for finishing the good work. And grant us the gift of death to self, Lord, so that we may enter into resurrection life, which Jesus provided for in completeness. When I got to the text above by faith at random, I asked for another, and I got this one also. Notice, crying to God is common to both texts. Psalm 84, 2, My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out unto the living God. So, what do we take from this? Well, it was pretty common word there. Pray the prayers of faith and cry out to God. Exercise your authority over the dogs, including the faction and witchcraft demons, right? And God will give you the victory. He has promised it. He promised it because Jesus became accursed for you and for me. Amen? So here's a revelation that's given to Eve Brast, 9:4-18. Sometimes we reach back and grab one because we get a we see it coming to pass, right? So in this we called it it's end of the road for the U.S.-China train. As you know, China is in with the deep state to bring destruction to Christianity in America. And to destroy its population. So Eve Brast got this back in 9 of 2018. She said, I dreamed I was riding a vintage 1950s baby blue bicycle with white walled tires. Notice the white walls again. Representing the old original path of purity, balance. That's what a bicycle does. And making progress through the word, which we've heard from the beginning. Right? Progress. Bicycles don't hold up good unless you keep them moving, you know. Then they stay upright. You know, if you sit still, well, you have to use your flesh to make it stay there. I was going to get my boys, Elijah and Josiah. I believe Eve is a type of the bride here of the last Adam. And she's gathering in her reformer children to escape the judgments. Amen. And then the scene changed and we were all seated on a fast-moving locomotive train. We were surrounded by Chinese people dressed in black classic Chinese garb. And I've thought that this has a couple of meanings. Our global governments and economies are moving dangerously fast towards self-destruction here, both us and China. The U.S. and China are on what seems to be the verge of World War III. But from what we've heard, the two factions or wings of the dragon beast, the Black Dragon, ruled by the Jesuits and the Rothschild banking elites, and the White Dragon Society, run by the Chinese elders who want to purge the planet Gaia from the Satanist Black Dragon elites and bring in the covenant with many. And it very well could be Nisara Jisara. Okay, I've explained that to you, why the Lord wants us to stick with this for right now until he says differently. And we have all kinds of scriptural evidence we've looked at that. And the new age of Aquarius, of course, the 1,000 years of peace. So, she said also, UBM has been represented in my past dreams as a locomotive train with David dressed as a king in the caboose, and the faction trying to derail it. The Chinese on the train represent foreigners who don't belong among us, who have been railroading our country and this UBM ministry. So suddenly the train came to a screeching halt. I could hear the train groan as it fought their perpetual motion and suddenly came to a stop. And there was panic and alarm among all the passengers. And I think we're watching that now. This represents the COVID lockdowns and all the awful intended and unintended consequences, and the economic slowdown and the supply chain disruptions and the vaccine mandates and the adverse reactions and deaths and the engineered food shortages and the energy shortages and the worldwide rolling blackouts. The judgments and the pain are just beginning. And many judgments, natural and man-made, will bring the course of things to an end. Okay? Do I think that we're going to have many very good, prosperous inventions released? And so, yes, I do. I believe that will happen. I also believe that there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. So even though we might get a break, it's going to be still hard. God still wants to drain the swamp in the church. Okay. So once the train came to a halt, I and my boys exited on the right side of the train. I think that's positive. And the bride and her children, the sheep whom the Lord put on his right, because they walk in sanctification, will have an exit or an escape from the judgments. She said, I jumped down and tried to assess what had happened, and there was a 10-year-old Chinese girl that had gotten off with us on the right side. So on the ground, a little further down from me, she looked like a rice harvester and had a wide straw hat on her head, and I knew that she was one of us. In other words, of a believer. And a worker or a harvester in his kingdom. The elect, of course, will exit the world system according to plan and its ways in order to have a Passover and in order to be ready to go into the wilderness. Right? So I went to the front where the engine was located and saw that it had stopped inches from a large, deep precipice to my left. On the left again. The train tracks had been twisted and broken off at its edge. I understood that this train represented the United States and China and their economic and political merger. Yes, the merger which the right wing is trying to get loose of right now. And I think they're doing a fairly good job of doing that. China has a lot of control in the U.S. through the deep state. There's a deep state in China, too, as you know. And they're fighting against their deep state, too, by the way. And the left-wing media, okay. China has been making war against the U.S. through unconventional communistic warfare methods like breaking down cultural and societal traditions, taking God out of our schools and our country, smuggling drugs into the country through the Mexican drug cartels that they own and operate, and economic warfare through engineered supply chain disruptions causing food and energy scarcity. And also, they developed the CCP, COVID-19 virus, in their Wuhan lab with the help and funding of the deep state, the U.S. deep state, and the National Institute of Health and the CDC, and released it in order to perpetuate their fake global plandemic, and which has led to the vaccine injuries and the deaths of almost 750,000 people in the United States alone. And all these things have ultimately caused this train to come to a screeching halt with the lockdowns and everything that has followed. And also there are infectious tares among the wheat that are being removed through all these events, you know. They don't hold up when they get into situations where they need faith to have God's grace, right? They don't hold up because they don't have faith. So she said, I then looked out along the edge of the precipice further down beyond the U.S.-China train and saw all the other countries' locomotives lined up on the same precipice as our train. Yep. Yeah, as goes U.S. and China, the rest of the world is gone not far behind, right? And I saw in the spirit the flag of each country superimposed on each engine. And these are the other countries and their economies that make up the global economic system. We are headed to a global hard reset of all countries and their economies. And Jisara Nasara is part of this. It is honest, very much so a more honest form of government than we have now. There's absolutely no doubt about it. However, when the people don't deserve good government, they usually get an upset. The little Chinese girl came around to where I was, and then she yelled out, "Magma!" And she began to run as fast as she could away from the train. I looked down and I saw volcanic lava starting to bubble up at the edge of the cliff from under the ground where the tracks were all twisted and broken off. Well, I think this is probably a symbol of hell's judgments coming upon the earth to separate the wheat from the tares. Also, you've heard about the La Palma Islands and the eruption there that are currently going on, that the Chinese are said to be agitating by thumping the volcano with space weapons. And I believe it's the CCP doing this, which is deep state to the core. So they're thumping the volcano with space weapons and causing earthquakes at about the exact same place, actually. Pretty interesting and very unlikely. And it could be a timing indicator that this is the time in which this dream is coming to pass. La Palma seems to be falling apart piece by piece, leaking out in so many directions that it may not even be capable of an explosion. I don't know. We'll see. My boys exclaimed something, but it was drowned out by the father's voice from above saying, "This is the end of the road." I thought, the end of the road? The end of railroading of UBM by the factious and the end of the Chinese railroading of the United States? That was her thought, and it could be very right. I do believe the dreams are pointing in that direction. So the end of the status quo and the world systems as we know them through chaotic judgments. All right. Well, the judgments are helping to bring down the deep state government and bring in Nasara Jisara. So this reminds me of the Rhema word given to Kolya that we shared on the last broadcast, called the One Word Order. Some people think there's a misspelling there, but it's not. One Word Order. Yes, it was very clear that this scenario that we're just talking about is being prophesied there. Suddenly, the heavens and the earth seemed to tremble and quake as the ground beneath all of the locomotives gave way. Well, I tell you, we have to lose this system in order to bring in the new system. Everything is rigged in this system to put money in the coffers of the deep state. And it has to come down. It is coming down. So anyway, she said this, that this is the spiritual shaking that God is bringing upon the entire world system to cause his elect to come out of Babylon, and I might add out of Egypt, right, with true repentance. Amen. We've been shown the great earthquakes with accompanying volcanic activity was coming with the man-child appearing to restore the kingdom. Haggai 2 and 20 says this. I'll read on down a little bit. "And the word of the Lord came the second time to Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, And Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. He was a first fruits leadership that came out of Babylon, like Jesus, the man child, and the man child, right? By word and by spirit, who will rebuild the kingdom. And when the kingdoms of the world fail, as these trains seem to be pointing to, then opportunity is made for this new system, and also the preparation for God's people to go into the wilderness. So, and it goes on saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Let me say, the alliance is taking down the deep state rulers behind the scenes in the nations that they control. And it's happening right now. There are nations that are now freed from these deep state rulers. The military is all over the world right now doing these things. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations, and I will overthrow the chariots. This, of course, reminds you of a parallel situation of them coming out of Egypt and going through the Red Sea to be cleansed of Pharaoh and his army. Amen? And those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders, shall come down, every one, by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. A signet, of course, is a sign of the king's authority, like what was given to Mordecai, whose name means little man, which is a type of the man-child. So he's running very parallel to Zerubbabel here, because Zerubbabel, in his court name, was the one that Cyrus gave all the funds and everything necessary to go and rebuild. Uh-huh. So, little man, he was a type of the man-child, with the bride being Esther. For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. Well, okay, it's on the way, right? The locomotives all fell with all their passengers that had not exited the train. Okay. The people of the world and the tares among the wheat and all who refuse to come out from among them fall into tribulation judgments, right? I could hear the desperate screams of the people mixed with the crushing and twisting of metal and the rumbling of the earth. Everything was shaking and very unstable. Do the allies in this war, the alliance, do they know how bad this is going to crash? I don't know whether they do, but they do intend to crash and change those people or drain the swamp of those people who have their money in their hand in the till all the time. Well, there was a distinct period of time between the screeching halt of the country's systems globally and their ultimate final destruction. And I believe this will be when Christ comes in his man-child. Yeah. And as the first seal, I'm just thinking here, you know, as the first seal, a white horse rider bringing the tribulation judgments is going to ultimately lead to the final destruction of the persecutors on the day of the Lord. That's the reason for the day of the Lord, is to judge the wicked who have judged God's people. And also, there was a delayed effect on the world economies after the 2020 COVID lockdowns and the screeching halt to all the economies of the world. And we're just now seeing all the supply chain issues and the financial defaults. And whether you know it or not, these supply chain issues, part of it is that the president, the real president, made an executive order that anybody who was found trying to overthrow the United States through the election, they would not do trade with them. So that's the one of the biggest reasons you see stuff stacking up. All right. As I watched the little girl running away in a panic, I thought, there's nowhere to escape to. Well, it's true, this is going to be all over the world. It was kind of a sick, helpless feeling. It's a world destruction, that's why. And only those with a Psalm 91 Passover are going to escape this. Many who have a surface relationship with Christ but live the life of a foreigner, do not believe in his full provision of the atonement of the Lamb, they may not make it. Remember the people you've prayed for. Remember the people you're exercising faith for, and hold fast to your faith, because God accounts you as righteous and he's going to use you. But then something amazing happened. I felt myself being supernaturally lifted up off of the ground and into the air. At the same time, I saw the Chinese girl being lifted up too, and my boys also behind me. All right, yes, the bride and her children are going to be taken into heavenly places. Now, don't mistake this for a rapture. It has nothing to do with that, because Ephesians tells us where these heavenly places are, and they're in Christ, abiding in Christ. And this comes through abiding in Christ, right? Ephesians 1, 2 through 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. So those who are walking in this love are going to see the blessings and provision of the heavenly places in Christ. And you get there by faith, right? You walk by faith. Then I heard a vacuum sound, and I found myself sitting at my father's desk inside Noah's Ark on the third floor. And, of course, this is representing her heavenly father, right? It was situated right in front of the window where Noah had released the raven and the dove. Except the window was divided into thirds and had three clear glass panes over them. So, that's very interesting. In a vision that I had, I was laying at the Father's desk in the Ark of Refuge, where all the animals were gathering to escape many judgments coming upon the world. Just outside the spiritual ark, which we were told was a ship in the land. And the Father was giving me $1 billion to take care of the animals and the refuge, as in Peter's vision of the animals coming down from heaven. They represented the church, mostly made up of many Gentiles, right? And we have a link to UBM, Refuge from the Storm, because that's what God is causing us to do, is bring people into the refuge. Not necessarily a physical refuge, but a spiritual refuge in Christ. I could see the flood waters that covered the earth, the curse of the water of the word that sinful man is under is implied here. The rains had stopped, and it was so peaceful. I just sat there and watched the peaks of the ocean water and felt the gentle rocking of the ark. Well, just remember that when the ark's on top of the water, there's a whole lot of people underneath the water, right? So what we know is that we always have an ark of refuge, a Passover of the curse, a Psalm 91. the promises of salvation and protection and deliverance and healing and provision are always our ark. But there is coming an ultimate ark in the day of the Lord at the end of the tribulation period. And there is a sequence of events for the man, child, and bride before the tribulation period. And in the tribulation, the same sequence for the church. And that's because the people who are going to be the leadership, as you know, are Jerusalem, the bride. And at the head of the bride, of course, is the man child. God is restoring the Davidic kingdom, not physically, spiritually. So there's a sequence of events to purify the man child and bride, and then after that, he uses them to purify the saints in the tribulation. So these events are to bring both groups to maturity, and then comes a day of the Lord's judgment on the persecutors as the final event in both cases, the final event. Then I was aware that my father was sitting over to the side and behind me among his easel and oil painting supplies. I didn't turn to look at him, but I could see him clearly in my mind's eye. He had a long white beard and a bright yellow t-shirt with overalls. I felt his amusement with me as I came to the realization of all these things and my surroundings, and I felt his love and care for me and his joy over me. He said, take a look at all the paintings that I've painted for you. Well, we know that Father has already shown us our future if we will believe his promises enough to build the ark and to the saving of our house and the saving of our own lives, right? So there was a wooden crate next to my chair filled with all these canvas oil paintings, so I turned to start unrolling each one and look at them. By the way, my earthly dad was an artist in real life. Okay. Well, these were all seascapes with fishing boats of different kinds painted floating on the sea. God's big on fishing. He wants to bring them in, right? He likes the big ones too, right? So each one had a beautiful sunrise in the background with colorful cloud formations. All of what we see is to bring in the end time harvest. People don't generally, in good times, feel like they need God. So God has to bring some bad times, you know? At first, the ark will be a body of fishing ships to bring people like fish on board to escape judgments until ultimate judgment of the day of the Lord comes. And then the fishing is over, for all of the elect are saved. We have a wonderful revelation we called Restoring the First Fishing Ship. And that's what God is doing now. He's preparing for the harvest. He said, I know how much you love the sea and fishing, meaning harvesting, I believe. So I painted these just for you. I thought to myself, I do? She was thinking physically, of course. I mean, she knew, he knew my thought and just laughed at my surprise. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Well, Eve here, as a type of the bride, has worked hard in the harvest of spiritual fishing, even though physical fishing doesn't appeal to her. Okay. They were very beautiful paintings, and when I got to the last one, which was so peaceful, it was a painting of the very scene that I was in currently. We're seeing this revelation come to an end here, okay, and this is the last scene that she's being shown. And I was sitting and looking out of the window of the ark at all of the floodwaters that had judged the wicked. I then realized that all the paintings were the parable meaning of my life in his kingdom. And I would say the bride too, right? After this, the scene changed again. And I and my sons were in another part of the ark, and Michael Hare was behind a large wooden work table with woven baskets of food stacked up behind him. In other words, he's feeding the people in Christ on the ark. He was pulling out all sorts of vegetables and placing them on the table, and was telling my sons how he fed all the animals and invited them to help him. He said that they would start with the rabbits. Oh, I think he's prejudiced for rabbits because he's a hare, right? He told them about all the rabbits that he had in the past and how he had cared for them. Yeah, Michael means who is like God. I also thought of his last name being Hare, and about David's revelation of the turtle turning into a rabbit and getting soaked with oil as we start the wilderness tribulation. Yes, God's going to empower his people. I mean, being a turtle is good when you're going through the Red Sea. There's a provision there. But when you get in the wilderness, turtles don't do so good, you know. Obviously, a hare can run through the wilderness, right? And especially with that anointing oil upon them. So this is obviously representing the quickening of the latter rain anointing for the elect of God, who the man-child will anoint to train up the two witnesses company to feed all the little hares. And as I was typing this, Eve said, I was pondering why Father said in the dream, I know how much you love the sea and fishing. Because even though I liked fishing in real life when I was young, I don't care anything about it now, and I'm really scared of the ocean also. One word, Jaws. And she put a big smiley face there. Okay. Things many have been afraid of regarding the harvest, they're going to learn to do with ease under the anointing of the latter rain. And great restoration is coming through that to all of God's elect. The great shaking that would only happen once more, as we heard earlier, spoken of by Paul in Hebrews and in this revelation, will begin the harvest with the coming of the man-child reformer ministry. Hebrews 12:26 says this, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Well, look around you, folks. Things are shaken. And we haven't seen the end of it yet. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Yes, that's what we're here for, that consuming fire that burns up the wood, hay, and the stubble and leaves the gold and the silver and the precious stones, right? So, now we're going to take a little confirmation here from Deborah Horton, which she got on 12/6/2012. spiritual warfare against the many-headed Hydra beast. Yes. I woke up around 4:43 this morning from a warning dream. The part I remember is that I was in the bottom floor of a large building with a long hall somewhere up north. Well, what came to me was, at that time, was the UN General Assembly building, which is north of Deb, and is very much deep state, right? But that is failing. They are failing. I thought I knew where I was within the building and that I could go down a certain hallway to reach my destination, although I don't know what my destination was. And as I walked, I realized that I had reached a dead end, a cul-de-sac. Well, this term dead end is a play on words because this vaccine depopulation agenda will result in a dead end for many of the unsaved and the unbelieving Christians. And, of course, the world. I don't know if you read the book of Revelation lately, but guess what? There is a depopulation that happens in the tribulation period, and as we're seeing here before. The building was like a maze. It was no accident that I had gone down that hallway because I saw there a huge fish tank at the end, and swimming in it was a hydra with so many heads that I couldn't count them. Well, this beast vaccine, which we've discovered, has many microscopic Hydra vulgaris in it, a strange creature that seems to be out of this world. And it's very alien-looking, spreading through the bloodstream of the vaccinated. Yes. I'll put a link here to this revelation about the Hydra vulgaris alien entities, right? And I think it was in Preserved from the Beast, number 15. So it was primarily yellow and with other snake-like markings on its skin and just raring to be released. It looked at me with evil in its eyes and bumped up against the glass over and over. In Greek mythology, the Hydra was like a serpent slash dragon with many heads and was the guardian to the entrance to the underworld, which pretty well fits the seven-headed dragon of Revelation 12. And whoso enters by this seven-headed dragon goes to hell, obviously. The seven heads focus on the seed of the seven world-ruling empires that rule or ruled over God's people, which today have disciples surrounding every Christian's individual lives. It's kind of like the Chinese all around the Americans on the train, you know. Just as the dragon, the old serpent, thought to devour the man-child but failed, Hydra was raised up to destroy Hercules, but instead Hercules destroyed it with the sword. Guess who he represents? The many heads could have a secondary meaning of the many deceptions trying to take out the man-child and woman. And even leading up to the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period when they sought to take down the woman church and failed. A sister did a study of what the color yellow means, and none of it was good. The Cliff's Notes version is that yellow is the color of leprosy, and it represents being in a spiritual dead condition. The complete article can be found in a link that we're going to put here. God is calling all of his saints to diligent spiritual warfare against the demonic entities warring through this body of the wicked against the saints. Ephesians 6 and 12 warns us, "For our wrestling is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." "Then a man walked over to me, and I knew that he was in charge of the Hydra." Well, he probably represents the corporate deep state head of the world Antichrist body, which gathers in the UN. Yeah, in that building. "I saw in my mind that he was looking forward to releasing it so it could attack another man." I believe it's probably representing the corporate head of the Christ body, the man child. Yes. "I had a quick vision of the Hydra having been released and slithering down the hallway, hissing with all of its heads, moving and twisting towards me, and that I was the man he wanted to attack, even though I was still me." Well, this person, this woman here, you know, was being in a place of the bride, and that I was the man he wanted to attack, even though I was still me. Well, very interesting. So Deb Horton is this person. She's representing the bride. And even though she was herself, she was representing the bride. And of course, we know that Satan in this body of believers wants desperately to bring down the bride. Satan knows who they are, believe it or not. And he has a great hatred, not only for the woman church, who mostly doesn't know at this particular time, but he has a great hatred especially for the man child and the bride. Then the vision ended. And I knew how to delay him because I could still read its mind somehow. I pretended that I didn't know what his plans really were for me, and I advised him. I can't recall the exact words, but they were something like, "Well, you can't do everything at once. Stick to one thing at a time, and you'll get it all done." And as I was saying this, I saw a short flight of steps that ran up beside the fish tank on its left with a door at the top. So the cul-de-sac did have a way out. And so will those who escape the dragon. And the way is up and heavenly. You know, the corporate body of the man child is the head of the woman, represented by Deb here, and they are one body in parallel. The dragon of Revelation 12 sought to devour the man child and the woman. And you know, the man child escaped Herod, right? The man child escaped Pharaoh. Notice, you know, the parallels in the Bible, they escaped. And And so it shall be. Now, they think they can do it, and but they can't. I knew my comment would keep the man in line with his original plan that he had plotted out in such great detail and relish. He wanted to savor the moment when the Hydra was released. He wanted to watch what it did and not miss one second. And then I woke up. Well, Deb reminded the beast head that they must stick to the plan to destroy the man-child first, so that they can then destroy the woman and her seed in the wilderness. Do it step by step, right? As the scripture says in Revelation 12 and 4, "And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, and when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron." Some people say it's Jesus, but no, it's not. He says the overcomers are going to do this. Okay? We know Jesus is an overcomer. He's an overcomer in us, too. And Christ in you is the only hope of glory, actually. So, he's to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And that's where he gets the throne anointing. Verse 13. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent." Okay, 17. "And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus." Yeah, well, towards the sanctified, the dragon is failing. Yes. "So she said, I asked for a word by faith at random, and my finger came down on the heading, 'They take Micah's priest and images,'" unquote. They here is men of the tribe of Dan. In this text, one who was a priest in the house of Micah, meaning who resembles God, was an apostate because of his idols, and he joined himself to the tribe of Dan. And Dan is no longer listed among the tribes of Israel in Revelation 7 and 4, because, like Judas, he was one of the 12 patriarchs who was a stumbling block. Genesis 49 and 16, "Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider falleth backward." So he's a Judas, right? Represents a Judas here. So what we see is one who had a great calling to be a priest of those who resemble the Lord, became a Judas because of his idols. The Lord is going to shake everything by using this Hydra beast plague for the sake of his elect to cleanse his church and to take away all of the idols. And this will result in a great revival. Amen. And Deb said, "I think that this attack is like Herod's attack, who killed all the male babies to make sure he got the right one." And Pharaoh kind of did the same thing, you know. Herod's destruction of the male children by the sword was an attempt to kill the chosen man-child, just as it was with Pharaoh, who tried to kill Moses, the man-child, by killing the children. But they both failed, and they'll fail this time too. "And then I prayed about the man that his plans would be turned back on his own head, that his plans would be revealed, and that they would turn to dust and be blown away." Yeah, we just recently had a revelation about angels fighting for us, and the faction was throwing bombs at us, and the angels were catching them and throwing them back. They were using their own weapons to destroy them. So they were the ones destroying themselves, in effect, right? So anyway, since then, they have tried to start the mark of the beast prematurely, and the Alliance is doing just that, you know, bringing down their attempt to be premature, right? I prayed for the Lord's protection over the man-child. And the Lord, of course, is going to protect the man-child by the throne anointing. She said, I prayed that the Lord himself would gird up the man-child. Amen. Everybody should be praying for that. Because God has a plan. It will come to pass. It doesn't have to come to pass through us. But if we don't call upon the Lord, God will use someone else to do it, right? So here's another one given to Deb on 2021, ninth month. Father is waking up the sea of humanity. Yes, he is. What I remember of the dream, I was getting ready to take a shower in an upstairs, second-story bathroom of a house somewhere that doesn't exist in real life. I believe Deb represents the corporate body of the elect of God, whom he is about to shake in order to effect repentance and a turning back to himself. She said the shower could be a reference to how the information is being released, single drops that combine in order to expose and wash away all the dirt of the deep state swamp in the D-class, right? So God is going to use, let me say, the enemies of God as far as the state is concerned to take down with this injection, as we know, the faction. Okay, we've had revelations about that recently and shared them with you. You can go back if you haven't caught them. When I opened the medicine cabinet for some reason, I saw that there was a pair of black cotton ladies' panties on the bottom shelf. The black cotton panties are a reference to their evil, hidden sex crimes, and cotton is yet another wordplay, I should say, on the idiom cotton to, meaning to begin to understand something. The medicine cabinet is a reference to adrenochrome. Okay, most of you know about that. Also, the medicine cabinet could represent the vaccines and the mandates that are causing the people to wake up and rise up in mass protest against the governmental and medical tyranny that is stripping them of their freedoms. Now, in the dream, she said, I knew that the deep state was extremely upset because they didn't want people to use the phrase Sea of Humanity. And I knew it was the word sea that was upsetting them. So I kept repeating to myself over and over, Sea of Humanity, Sea of Humanity. Somehow I could feel them flinch every time I did that. It dawned on me that this is a word play on sea. And they are upset because people across the globe are beginning to see them and what they are doing. True. Also, possibly sea is a reference to the Holy See and the Vatican, where many crimes against children and humanity have been perpetuated. And everybody's going to see it. It is going to be all out in the open. And you know what? A lot of people that have any conscience at all are going to flock out of that religion and seek God. Some will just fall away, but they got nothing to fall away from there, you know, but some will seek God. I asked Father, will you please give me a word about the overall dream? And I received by faith at random, computer, Colossians 1:27, and the context is 24 through 29. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and I fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I was made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given me to you word to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid for ages and generations, but now hath been manifested in his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's a glorious revelation. I wish everybody had it. They don't have any expectation for Christ to live in them and live through them and do his works through them. But this is what this is all about. Verse 28, whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Wherefore, I labor also, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. God's going to do the work through those people who know and understand that when they put the word of God into their hearts, they're putting Jesus into their hearts. There are a lot of people that believe in the step over the line religion of accepting Jesus as a personal Savior, which quote is not in the Bible, by the way. It's repent and believe. And believe what? The Bible. The Word. Put the Word in your heart, right? Okay, here's a revelation given to Graham Jacob Galinas, Andrew's son. And he got it on 8/29/21. We called it the syringe-covered beast. And it's very good. Andrew said, my son Graham references Odd Squad, that's Odd Squad, several times in this dream. The Odd Squad is an educational television series using mathematical concepts. Addition, multiplication, using data in graphs, etc. to advance each episode's plot. The characters are employees of the Odd Squad, who use indirect reasoning and basic math to solve and investigate strange happenings in their town. The series teaches children basic math skills and math-related topics. Well, as we're going to see, I believe that this Odd Squad is a play on the old TV show The God Squad, which was a hybridization of Christian and Jewish thought and represents the apostate leadership in the church that use man's reasonings to leaven and reason away the portions of God's word that they don't understand and they don't agree with. So the non-spirit-filled groups miscalculate Scripture with their mind instead of hearing from the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the difference between the spirit-filled people and the non-spirit-filled people is? One are the non-spirit-filled people, they calculate things. They make a rule like you are under the law. And you do it this way. This is how we bring Romans Road. You know, this is how we bring people to the Lord. But other people who get filled with the Spirit realize that's why they're filled with the Spirit, to let Him lead them instead of all the calculations of man. Graham said, the first thing I remember in my dream is that we had turned on the TV to try to find a Bible movie. But the TV stopped on a scary movie instead. Kind of like the Antichrist communists using the plague. Their scary movie to scare the people into giving up their God-given rights or for safety so that they can succeed in taking over the world. You know, they are doing purposeful scaring people, right? So in the movie, we saw lots of people with red spots on their hands and faces. Wounds from the spike, underlined spike, proteins. These peoples have the spiritual mark of the beast in their minds and in the works of their hands. Is it the ultimate mark of the beast? No, it's not. And not until it comes is the ultimate warning giving to people, okay? I do believe people will get delivered of this particular part. Again, it's a preemptive strike, but it's also a test to test out their mark, right? We tried to change the channel, but couldn't. Oh, scary movie. Still in the middle of it, right? The people of the world are living out the horror movie and can't get out of it. The deep state scientists and the mainstream media were continually promising everyone that if they just complied, we could all go back to normal, but they lied, right? So, she goes on to say, or Graham goes on to say, we thought the batteries in the remote control must have been dead, so we put in new ones. Well, this represents no power to change the scary movie. Actually, God's bringing us through the scary movie, and he's hoping to scare some people into turning to the Lord. Yeah. Well, because they realize they need a Savior. So when the new batteries drained of their power right away, we quickly unplugged the TV from the wall. This didn't do anything, though. So we started ripping the back off of the TV apart until all the wires and parts were hanging out all over the place. Still, the scary movie remained on the screen as if it had been taken over by aliens. Okay. Well, the deep state aliens mean this for evil, but this is happening because God has ordained this judgment on apostate Christianity to purge the church. God always turns apostates over to the beast for chastening, and so that they will repent. After we failed at turning off the movie, I laid down behind the couch so it would no longer be in my line of sight. Well, I believe it's representing humbling oneself in repentance during tribulation and being hidden behind the continual Sabbath rest, right? For some reason, though, I couldn't help wanting to get a good look at what was on the screen, so I took a few quick peeks. For a moment, I thought it was actually a good movie when I saw someone calling the Odd Squad. But then I saw all these people, probably who represent apostate Christians, with several small holes or jab marks on their hands, faces, and bodies. Mm-hmm. Well, as we will see, this Odd Squad represents the apostate leaders of Christianity who lead the unbelieving Christians who are discipled in apostate churches astray to their deaths by encouraging them to depend on the arm of the flesh and to take the mark, to take the inoculation, right, to save themselves. And now we're seeing what a lot of spiritual people know and have told them, but they wouldn't listen, right? When the Odd Squad showed up in the movie, the jabbed people began to tell them what had happened. They said, "We saw a warthog, a beast, I think, that was covered head to tail in brownish-gray iron armor scales and sharp quills like a porcupine for mass injections, right? Its feet were like the paws of a feline. Well, I think that represents rebellion and Jezebel. With seven retractable claws on each paw that extended out about a foot in length. Ooh, that's a scary-looking creature. But I believe this represents Jezebel's seven claws that she has captured the seven churches with, right? On the end of its tail was a syringe filled with white liquid. The outside of the syringe, vial, red, snake venom, and all the poison in the world mixed. God's just trying to impress you. This is really bad stuff. Okay. And this reminds me of Eve's dream that we recently shared of the coral snakes that were falling on the apostates that had been gathered into the warehouse for judgment and biting them, representing the vaccine plague, right? They were getting injections, right? Yes. And as you know, coral snakes paralyze your nervous system and they make things shut down, kind of like the vaccine. I spoke to Eve on 10/31/21 about the thought that I'd been having that a worse plague was going to be released by the deep state because of the pressure that's being put on them of the Alliance arresting and in some case executing them. This would cause them to release a much more deadly vaccine bioweapon. And then Eve related to me which I did not know, that she had just had a dream that same morning about this. So I'm going to share that dream. A worse demon plague, Red Sea judgment for the faction and apostates. That's what Eve named it. And she got this, 10/30/21. I dreamed that I was standing in the midst of a lot of chaos. I knew in the dream that the deep state had released a worse plague or vaccine upon the people of the world. Many more people were dying than had escaped their first attempts to cull the population. Well, currently it has been reported that vaccine-related vehicular accidents have increased dramatically. They have begun to refer to them as vaccidents. Many of the vaccinated are having strokes, seizures, heart attacks while driving or flying planes and are losing consciousness and then slamming into other people or structures, killing and maiming many more people than the vaccines alone. We know a family who was rear-ended at full speed by a relatively young man who was said to have had a heart attack and died before he hit them. And we suspect that this is another instance of a vaccident. The media, as we're going to see, is just as guilty as these deaths as anybody, because they are covering up what is really going on. And we believe that this is the plague that has no cure but God spoken. what God speaks, you know, we, like a rhema word, this one word order is a revelation of this. Well, here's what I'm asking people to do is to please read our free book on our site, God's Vaccine, so that people know there is a cure for not only this, but any sickness whatsoever. God paid the price for this, and most of Christianity hadn't figured that out yet. And so they trust in the arm of the flesh, and it's costing them dearly. And going on, it says, I watched as multitudes of little predator alien demons dressed in dark gray body suits, representing death, running around mischievously spreading plague. In fact, they were the plague. Well, this is called spirits of infirmity. Can men invent things that demons will inhabit? Of course. And in fact, the people that make them are Satanists, so they know how to impart demons. You know? People weren't aware of them or couldn't see them, but I could see them. They were the size of 6-year-old children and acted like that too. Their dreadlocks on their heads were made of tightly rolled newspapers. And I knew that this was what gave them the power to spread their sickness among the people, as well as what gave them their defense and cover. So this represents the media's conspiracy with the deep state in China to hide the vicious purposes of the vaccine program and the mandates in order to cull the mass population, right? So too many people have been waking up to their scheme and are refusing to get vaccinated, so they will unleash something far worse on the people. Yep, people are waking up really fast. There's parts of the world where they refuse the vaccines and they're turning to the drugs that actually have worked somewhat, you know. And Europe seems to be dropping the vaccines. Much of Africa were enlightened before that and turned away from them. On and on. And we believe that this dream is a confirmation that the dream Eve shared recently about the dogs rounded up by the angels and being euthanized by lethal injection, because the Lord told us years ago that he would use the plague to remove the factious and apostates who hinder the gospel. Yes, they do everything they can to stop the gospel getting out. They claim to be Christians, but they're not. They're Satanists. So let's get back to Graham's dream here. Next to the writing was a logo of a horned human skull. Well, I think the horned human skull represents that this vaccine not only kills people physically, but also spiritually by giving them the mind of the beast to cooperate with him, right? The liquid inside was a mixture of king cobra venom and the venom from every poisonous creature on earth. Satan himself had mixed it, not some crazy human doctor. Yes, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, as it says in Ephesians. So they're not satisfied with people dying slowly. This is catching up to them very fast. They want people to die quickly, quickly. They have to do this quickly. So when the syringe on its tail was compressed, the venom would feed into every one of the needles that covered its body. Okay. So the prophet that speaks lies, he is the tail. There are many out there telling their churches to go do this so they can have protection while they continue their foolishness. Well, the mainstream media is the modern-day false prophet, too, that speaks lies and leads the people into much deception. As soon as the true Christians saw the beast, they all began running up to the hills. Matthew 24:15-16 says, "When therefore you see the abomination of desolation," we have seen this for years as the people taking the mark of the beast and going back to their churches, "which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him that readeth and understand." The holy place, of course, being the only holy place out there, is the true church, the called out ones, right? "Then let them that are in Judea flee unto the mountains." There it is, running up the hills, right? Some true Christians got quilled when they angered the warthog by kicking it in the face. They didn't seem like they were affected at all. I think we've kind of insulted them a few times ourselves. Matter of fact, I've got the proof of it. And simply plucked the quills out of their palms and fingers as if they were only splinters. And this represents the spiritual warfare that the Christians are doing against the beast and his plans to destroy them. And this makes Satan's beast angry. But they will escape because they have faith in the promises of God and won't be harmed, as the woman escaped the dragon beast when she was led by the man-child into the wilderness. Amen. So the apostate Christians were the ones who had called the odd squad, okay, and when they got sick after being jabbed. And when the sick people asked what they should do, the odd squad told them to go to the hospital. That'll kill you. So they did. I never saw whether or not the people died after they went to the hospital. We know that for a fact. It's a killing machine, right? And the drugs that they use, like remdesivir and their breathing apparatus, is what's killing them. Consistently, their relatives are going to blame the deaths of their loved ones on these apostates and upon the medical institutions, right? So the last thing I remember, I was looking at the scene from the outside of our house that we live in now. In the dream, we had left just before the warthog showed up, representing the Psalm 91 protection of being hidden in Christ from the beast, right? He said the entire house was now in shambles and falling apart. Mm-hmm. Well, the apostate church system and its leadership will be ruined and fall apart once God has brought their judgments upon them through the beast. See, God wants the people free from that church system in order to follow the reformers into the wilderness. Then I saw that the warthog was furiously digging into the floorboards of the living room, looking for anyone that was possibly hiding. Well, this house was not built upon the rock of Christ, which is the only sure foundation, so the beast was able to tear the foundation apart. And when it couldn't find anyone, it became even more enraged. At this point, I saw that some sort of surveillance device was now protruding from its snout and was scanning all around for any signs of life. But, of course, all those who had life left the apostate church, so they weren't there. And inside the house, there were animal bones strewn all over the place. The bones and everything in the house seemed to be heavily gnawed on, as if the beast was always starving. Well, it's starving, all right, for the flesh of the apostates, and they are whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. I also noticed the skulls of other warthogs there because it was a cannibal. Well, that has both physical and spiritual ramifications, I believe. The factious bite and devour one another. A house divided against itself will not stand. The deep state are literally cannibals. They drink the blood and eat the flesh of their victims. So, still unable to find us or anyone else, it began to lay down and sleep right in the demolished living room. So all along in this dream, a fang-like tusk would grow out from its mouth and curve around its snout and head. A new tusk grew each day, and I counted 7 by the end of the dream, representing the 7 heads of the beast. Amen. And then Graham said, I woke up. Wow, Graham, that's an awesome revelation there, son. And he's a chip off the old block because Dad's a dreamer too, real powerful, Andrew. Well, thank you, Father, for showing us this. Of course, this dream is looking towards the future. It's not looking towards the past. This thing is not over. Even though many people would tell you it is. But you know, when they cry in peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. God is not, he hasn't drained the swamp yet. And he won't give up until he has done this. He has to do this. These people are not prepared to go into the wilderness. And a wilderness, by the way, is a completely different lifestyle than what many of God's people are living. They've lived by the flesh pots. They've trusted in the government to provide for them. Going into the wilderness is a place where you can only trust in God and succeed. And millions of them went into the wilderness. And yet, God fed them, he watered them, etc., etc. And why would he do this? Why would God do this? It's because in the wilderness, you learn faith in God. And God puts a high premium on that. The righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him, right? God wants a people who walk by faith. If the people who went and took this vaccine walked by faith, they would never trust in the arm of the flesh. Cursed is the man that trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm. Are we not seeing the curse here? Some people wonder why we endure trials of our faith and learn to grow in our faith. It's because it's important. Where we're going, faith is the only thing that will work. The only thing that will work. A wilderness is not a place where boxcars come out of Egypt to supply your needs, right? No. Quite often things came out of heaven, like quail and manna. Came from heaven. They were fed by God because, or should have been because, of their faith. And God was merciful at the beginning of all this. He wanted to bring them through the wilderness in order to bring them into their promised land. And of course, in the promised land, the old man is conquered and the spiritual man takes over and raises his fruit, right? So that's why God was training them in the ways of faith in the wilderness to bring them against the beast enemy inhabiting a property that God said was theirs. So, God puts a high premium on faith, and God's people don't even know what faith is. It's the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. You're believing you have what God says you have simply on the grounds that he said so. Yet God's people do not study his word to receive the faith that comes from the word. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word, right? They don't study his word. They study the preachers. And the preachers have plateaued. They go as far as their religion permits them, and they won't go any further. It was just like that with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zealots and all those people. It was just like that. History just repeats. So don't expect them to take you into the wilderness. They never went there. Moses went there. Moses was the man-child. He met God in the wilderness. He learned of God in the wilderness. And God sent him back to bring his people to that mountain, the mountain of God, in the wilderness. And Moses didn't understand at first, but as he went down that road, he understood more and more why God chose this method. Well, look around you, folks. People say, Where's the wilderness? You're going to get to see it. You probably won't have to leave your yard. People are wondering, where's the wilderness? So we don't want to go there. Well, they don't want to go there because they've fabricated doctrines like, let's fly over the wilderness to go straight to the promised land. Well, it didn't work for the Israelites. They would have loved to be able to do that, but God put them in a difficult situation where they had to learn faith or fail and fall in the wilderness, which they did. Do you see anybody falling out there? Well, yes, we see them falling, but we haven't seen anything yet because the wilderness hadn't started yet, much to some people's disappointment. But we're very near, very near. The man-child first has to come because that's the one who leads the people into the wilderness. So if you think it started, you're wrong. When the man-child comes, you will be recognizing him, or at least people with any kind of eyes and ears will recognize him, because he is like Jesus and doing the work of Jesus and doing the signs and wonders of Jesus and etc., etc. So you see, God has a plan, and most people are not going to like it. Okay, the wilderness is going to be where you are. That's where it is. The wilderness is where you can trust God where you are. Or you can fall in the wilderness by unbelief where you are. We won't have to go far to find the wilderness. We should be like Moses, entering into the wilderness on our own desire to walk with God, instead of waiting for Pharaoh's army to push us out in the wilderness, right? We should be choosing of our own free will to go there. Jesus chose to go into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he overcome the devil because of his faith. He quoted the word of God to the devil in the wilderness, and the devil finally gave up and left for a more convenient season because he couldn't do anything with him. And Jesus in you won't have any problem with the wilderness either. Make sure you get Jesus in you. Oh, I did that, David. I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Yep. Well, do you have the Jesus who went around doing all the healing and the miracles and giving wisdom and giving faith to God's people and delivering them from their demons? And so if you don't have that Jesus, you didn't accept the right Jesus. So you got Baal. That's what you got. So the easy in Jesus, just accept Jesus, that's usually Baal. So go on to find out who the real Jesus is. Get your Bible down. It's the most important thing you do. It's more important than going to church where you're getting leavened. And get your Bible down and read it and find out who the real Jesus is. That's who's coming. And you're going to see him. Jesus said, he that receiveth you receiveth me. You see, when Jesus lives in people, whatsoever you do to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me, he said. Now there's wicked people out there mistreating his people, and they're headed towards a real disaster. I mean, these plagues are going to get them. This we know from the revelations God has given us. And God's going to be able to bring unhindered from Pharaoh's army the people into the wilderness. Yep, Pharaoh's army is going to stop. And God's draining the swamp. And the judgments that these witchcraft people are speaking against God's people and against even the Trump and his people, they're, you noticed how all the witches gathered together to curse Trump, and didn't seem like they had any power. Huh. Well, that was because Christians were holding Trump up, And Christians are held up too. Christians are Christ-like. Christians are people with faith. Christians are people that believe the Word of God. They don't get distracted with the Pharisees' religions. They might pass through them to learn what not to do, but they pass through them. And thank God, you know, even Zerubbabel came out of Babylon. Moses came out of Egypt. He came out ahead of the rest of them so he knew the way to the wilderness. Amen. And he married one of seven daughters of Reuel, his excellency. One of seven, that's the Philadelphia church, right? And he led them into the wilderness where they could learn if they listened and obeyed to the prophets, where they learned how to trust in God to be their provision. Amen. Hoarded up provision is not going to be the way. God's got provision for his people, and you don't have to pack it all with you. It'll be there when you get there. That's the way God does it. You know, all that stuff they packed up to take with them that they thought they were going to need in the wilderness, you know? That stuff wore out and got broken and got lost. And then they started realizing that God wanted to provide their needs out of heaven. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your mighty, miraculous works for your people in these days. Lord, we pray that your people will fear not, only believe, because this is a good thing. Yes, it's bad on the world, and it's bad on the worldly, but then this crucifixion of the wood, hay, and the stubble has to happen. Because no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven, and that's Jesus. So, Father, Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's the only hope of glory. Lord, we put Jesus in our hearts when we put the Word of God. He is the Word of God, declares the Scriptures. When we put him into our heart and we believe what we read, not pass it off as something back then, right? Like the wicked Pharisees are doing now, you know. Oh, that all passed away with the apostles. Oh, no, they're lying. And they're going to need to know that Jesus can supply your needs anywhere and everywhere. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what Jesus is doing for us. We thank you, Lord, that he is coming to lead his flock like a shepherd. Amen. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, we call upon you, Lord. We see these things happening in the world. Many people do not understand. They need your wisdom, Lord. They need your faith, Lord. The signs and wonders that you're going to do before them, Lord, are going to put faith and boldness into their hearts to know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just as you led them out into the desert, which in many places is actually the word for wilderness, same word, to provide for them and to feed them and to have them to hang upon your every word again, Lord, we know you're coming to shepherd your flock. And, of course, the Pharisees are going to miss you again, Lord, because you're not coming in the way they expect. And but you said, you told them very plainly that you were going to come as a man-child born to a woman again. Oh, gosh. Lord, you've even said it in your word very plainly. So thank you, Lord, for your coming, your Hosea 6, 2, and 3 coming as the latter rain, as Jesus came with the former rain. Jesus and the man-child is coming with the latter rain, and you're coming to take care of your people and to teach them the ways of walking in the Spirit of God so they can always have provision and always have healing, always have deliverance, always have the things that God's provided. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for empowering your people, Lord, and empowering your leadership, Lord. Many people don't like your leadership, Lord, and they didn't like you to rule over them. And, of course, you judged them for that in the parable. They don't like what you do, Lord. They were trained differently to look upon a Jesus, which is not the Jesus of the Bible, and they're not expecting a humble Jesus or a Jesus that's able to judge and to bring judgment. They're not expecting that either. And so, Lord, the Pharisees were wrong in your day, and as a repetition of history, they will be wrong in our day, and they will fight against the truth as always. And thank you, Father, for your miraculous deliverance you have planned for your elect, your chosen. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, saints, I hope this has helped you some. Be prepared for things to come, and fear not, only believe, because the Lord has your salvation in his hand. Amen. God bless you. We'll do this again soon. Good night.